Morning, everyone. If you could please turn your Bibles with me to Jeremiah chapter 29. Forgive me for starting a little bit later. I was actually sitting in my seat deliberating as to what to preach about this morning because I had something prepared and I kept feeling like the Lord saying, do Jeremiah 29. So I was like, really? And so here we go. Okay, Jeremiah 29. Now these are the words of the letter which Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the rest of the elders of the exile, the priests, the prophets, and all the people of Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jeconiah and the queen mother, the court officials, the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen and the smiths departed from Jerusalem. The letter was sent by the hand of Elisha, the son of Zephanan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, and Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them, and plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and become the fathers of sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, and multiply there and do not decrease. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, and its welfare you will have welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets who are in your midst and in your diviners deceive you. And do not listen to the dreams which they dream. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me, come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search me with your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. I will restore your fortunes and will gather you from all the nations, from all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place where I have sent you into exile. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, and we thank you for your word, Lord. And we just ask, Holy Spirit, will you release God, will you release your Holy Spirit, Lord, just to speak to each and every single one of us. Father, we open our hearts to you, Lord, and whatever it is that you desire for us, God, and whatever it is you desire for us to see, Lord, we say yes to you, God. And so we thank you, we love you, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, one of the things that ever since the retreat, you know, before the retreat, when I was praying, I remember sharing with you guys that I really believe part of the reason why I was really excited for the retreat was I really felt like God was going to drop something into our church and drop something into us as individuals. And having been to the retreat, I'm sure many of you will agree with me that God really did something in our church. In fact, there have been so many testimonies already that we've been receiving of people being healed of things and God really touching hearts or even receiving the prophetic in terms of being encouraged and God reminding them what it is that God had called them to do. And so, I mean, now it's been 3 weeks almost removed from the retreat, and many of us have been kind of back into our normal lives, back into the kind of grind of things. And, you know, having been through the retreat and now being back into this place, I've really been praying, I mean, even a lot, not necessarily just for the church, but also for myself as to, Lord, now this is all said and done. What is it that you're doing, right? What is it that you're trying to say and all these sort of things? And one of the things that I felt like God continually speak to me about is pretty simple. It's this idea of, now that it's said and done, don't chase the promises, remember me. Okay, and he's been saying this to me continually. And I mean, in my own life, I understand what that means, right? Specifically for me, I mean, P-Sam talked about Shanghai, and obviously I went up. And you know that. And just for the record, it's not necessarily that I have a heart for Shanghai. I got to say, I don't necessarily have a heart for anything. It's just one of those things that I feel like God's been speaking to me about, and I simply have to obey, okay? And just for the record, okay? Now, having said that, why is it that I felt like God going to Jeremiah 29? Now, let me kind of go through the very quick context and so that I can kind of get to what I believe God's saying to us through this text. Now, 29 is great. Many of us know this text, and it's a text of encouragement. In fact, it's one of those things that people often say to us, right, when we're going through a difficult time. And it's one of the many go-to verses, right? I mean, you're tough, you find your accountability partners, right? And you say, oh, I'm going through a hard time, my work's not going so well, right? I don't know what's going on in my life. And of course, the first thing that many people will say to us is they'll say, well, I get Jeremiah 29:11. And it says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you future and hope, right? And they'll say, God has a plan for you. And obviously, you know, for us, it's like, oh yes, God has a plan, and we're hoping for that sort of encouragement. But I think for us to really understand verse 11 and to really be able to draw encouragement from this, we really need to understand the context in which Jeremiah is saying this to Israel. Okay, and for that, we have to go back one chapter, and we go back to chapter 28. Now, the context of Israel's history up until this point is this. Remember, David had consolidated all the tribes. He'd created a kingdom, and that kingdom had passed on from him to Solomon, right, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And what had happened throughout this time as Israel had turned away from the Lord. And because of that, they were divided into two kingdoms of Israel and Judah. Israel had already in this time be exiled into, not Babylon, into Assyria, right? So they were already destroyed. And so Judah was what was left. And so at this time, Jeremiah was prophesying to them. Remember, throughout the entire book, he's saying, repent, turn back to God, or else calamity is coming. And what is this calamity? This calamity was the exile into Babylon, right? So the king Nebuchadnezzar, they were going to come, and they were basically going to overtake Judah, destroy Jerusalem, and exile you unless you repent. Now, what happens is after this was given to them, Hananiah comes to them and says, hey guys, don't worry. The exile is going to be really, really short. In fact, it's going to be so short, it's only going to be 2 years, right? King Nebuchadnezzar, he's going to come. They may come and exile us into Babylon. But trust me, in 2 years' time, God's going to bring us back into this place. Don't worry. And so be restful, be peaceful, right? Don't worry, it's going to be short. Okay? Now, after that, Jeremiah comes in and says, no. This is not the case at all. In fact, it's not going to be 2 years. We read, and what verse is it? Verse 10, right? For thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you, fulfill my good word to you, and bring you back to this place. Now, when Hananiah prophesies this, not only does he talk about the only being 2 years, right? He talks about, I have broken the yoke of King Babylon. Yeah, here it is, sorry. I'm going to bring back the place of Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, all the exiles of Judah who went to Babylon, declares, for I will break the yoke of King Babylon, etc. And so what he was really talking about was he was going to break the reign of King Nebuchadnezzar. And a lot of what breaking the reign of King Nebuchadnezzar meant was really he's going to break up the kingdom. And so breaking the kingdom also mean the spoils were going to be Israel's, okay? Now, when we go to chapter 29, we see this is not the case at all. And so what Jeremiah is saying is actually very different. See, Hananiah is telling Israel, don't worry, keep doing what you're doing, and I'm going to restore to you all your riches, right? Everything that was lost in 2 years. Jeremiah, on the other hand, is saying, actually, no, I want you to go and bless the place that I'm about to send you. I want you to go, and remember at the very beginning he talks about, go build houses, live in them, plant gardens, take wives, have children, right? And then give your children to their spouses and seek the welfare of the place in which I've sent you. Now, Jeremiah, what he's saying to the people of Israel is this, yes, there is a promise. Yes, there is something that God is going to give back to you after 70 years, But what he's asking Israel to do is not just to seek and wait for the promise of God, but to continue and to live in faithfulness in what God is doing in their lives. Meaning, don't just go into this place, expect to be gone in 2 years, and just kind of be like, oh, I don't need to do anything. Actually seek the blessing of the kingdom of Babylon. Now, obviously, not necessarily to become Babylonians, but to basically reveal God to them. Now, what do I believe God's word to us is? See, after a retreat like this, typically what happens to us in a spiritual high is we feel empowered to not just to do what we're doing, but we start looking for the things that God has called us to do, right? I'm only going to use Eva as an example because I prophesied over her, right? Something that Eva, very easy for her to do is to say, okay, after this retreat, I believe God's going to use me. He's gonna take me. He's going to create in me a missionary heart again. He's going to send me into the nations, all these sort of things. And so what do I have to do to get into that place? And because she's so gung-ho about what it is that God's called her to, in many ways, it's easy for her to miss what God's doing right now, which is to be faithful in what God's called her to do, because it's in her faithfulness that God's going to lead her into the promised land, right? And much like Israel, God wasn't telling them, I'm going to send you away to boot camp, in 2 years I'm going to bring you back, and you're going to be ready for what I've called you to. It's, no, go and do everything that is necessary. Be faithful in that place, and I will bring you back into that promised land. And so what I believe God is speaking to us today is this, is the first thing is this, don't look too far ahead. Don't look too far ahead that we're missing what God is calling us into now. Now, the retreat was great, but the faithfulness and how we get to the promised land is actually what we do with what God's placed us into today. Right? Meaning, you may have received healing, you may have received prophetic word, you may have received promises of God, but now that you're back into the normal day, everyday life, the most important thing for you to do is to continue to be faithful, right? Don't miss what God is already doing in your life today. Now, specifically, I feel like this is speaking to those who are going through a difficult time, right? Especially in their workplace, or especially in a place where maybe in your school, right? Maybe you're not exactly sure why you're going through this difficult time. I believe God's encouragement to you is keep going, right? Keep going. I mean, I pray for you it's not going to be 70 years, okay? Now, I don't think it's going to be 70 years, okay? Now, don't quote me on timing, right? We don't do this in SB. There's no timing. But I believe as we're faithful, God's going to bring us into that promise, okay? And so number one is remain faithful, okay? The second thing I believe God's word for us is this. Don't just look at the promise, run after God, okay? And we get this from verse 11, for I know the plans I have for you. But before that, verse 10, for thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed by Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you. The word visit, okay, in Hebrew, actually the translation here does a pretty bad job. It actually doesn't mean visit at all. The word here actually means bring back. Okay. Now, bring back is not necessarily mean just I'm going to return you to where you used to be, right? It's not I'm going to just bring back whatever it is that was lost physically. The word bring back actually means I'm going to return to you everything that was missing. Okay, now in context of what happened, remember, because Judah gets exiled, what happened during that time is, remember, because they walked away from God, God actually stopped speaking during that time. And so what God is actually saying to them is, not only am I going to give you a plan, not only am I going to bring you back the promises of God, I'm going to bring myself back into the midst of Israel. I'm going to bring the entirety of my presence back to you. And then only after that does he talk about, then I have the plans I have for you. And so actually the first thing that God desires for Israel is not just for plans, but himself. And so I remember I preached about this two or three years ago when I first came into SP, the idea that the greatest gift that God has for us is actually not His blessing, it's actually not His promises, it's actually not even His plans. The greatest blessing that God has for us is Himself. It is in Him that all of these things come, right? Outside of God, all the promises, all those things, they mean nothing. It is only in God's presence and as we seek Him that God brings the rest of these things into fruition. And so the second thing I believe God's speaking to us today is this, is don't just now, after this retreat and now you're filled with this zeal, don't now just look at the promises, remember me. Right? So number one is first, be faithful where God has called you to be, no matter the difficulty of the circumstance. And the second thing is, remain faithful in seeking Him. Right? Not just saying, God, I know the plans, you know, that you have for me, but Lord, now I need to seek you, to be in relationship with you. Right? To be in your word. One of the things Pastor, remember, Benjamin talked about is being really dissected. That's one of the things that's really been in my heart, is being dissected by the word, right? The idea of meditating on His word, meditating on what it is that God's speaking to us in this way. And I feel like God's now calling us into a season. And I don't want to make it such a huge prophetic thing where I feel, oh, this word of the Lord for the church. But really what I feel like God's really been speaking to my heart is, I believe it's a season of, yes, there's a promise, yes, there's blessing, but be faithful, seek me, be dissected by the word, and let God move us into whatever it is He's called us to. Yeah? And so let's close our eyes, and as Ernie comes up. And so I just want us to go through something very, very simple this morning, right? Is the first thing is praise God for what He did at the retreat, right? Whatever it is that He spoke to you, however it is that you were ministered to, just praise Him. Thank you, Lord, that you remembered me, that you blessed me. Right? And I love how King David always said, who am I in my house that you would speak to me in such a way? The second thing is, Lord, now that you've spoken to me this way, I give them back to you. And Father, I seek your face before I seek anything else. Lord, I desire your word before I desire anything else. And then ask Him to continue to bring the fullness of His presence into your life. So that not only are we, so that we don't just chase what it is that, you know, whether it's promises, whatever the case may be, we don't just chase them. Especially, you know, don't chase the spouse, right? Chase God. Yeah. So let's pray.
Things have passed away. Your love has stayed the same. Your constant grace remains a cornerstone. Things that we thought were there are beating in life. Cause your sun to shine on darkest night. For all that you've done, we will pour out our love. So we'll be our anthem song. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. The one our hearts adore. what was lost has found its place in you. You lift our weary, you make us strong again, you take this rags and made us beautiful. For all that you've done, we will pour out love. This will be our anthem song. Jesus, we love you.
Keep praying. Philippians 1:6 tells us, "For I'm convinced of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it to the day of Christ Jesus." And so let's continue to seek him, knowing that he's not only just going to perfect us, but he's going to bring us into the fullness of his promises. Turn to our community focus. Let's pray for those in our community in need of healing from cancer and cancer-related issues. Let's really pray for God's healing over them. Let's pray for his providence and his grace and his mercies. Let's pray. Pray for those in need of healing, but also in need of salvation. Let's pray that God will do only what he can do, both in healing, but also in changing hearts and turning people to them. So let's lift up. Let's pray for those suffering from non-cancer related infirmities. Let's pray for God's healing and His grace over them. Let's pray that He removes pains, removes not just symptoms, but the root. And let's claim God's word over them. Actually, just as an update, thank you guys for your prayers. My hearing actually just came back just one day, just out of nowhere. And so I pray that's, I mean, I believe that's miraculous healing. And so thank you guys for your prayers. Yilin, you can take me off the list. And so, amen. And so let's pray for those in need of work. Let's lift them up. Let's pray for God's favor over them and over the resumes and over interviews and whatnot. Let's also pray for God's covering over emotions and negative thoughts and whatnot. It can be difficult, especially for those who've been looking for work for a long time. And so let's just pray. Let's lift them up. Go to our mission focus. Let's lift up China and SP Beijing. Let's lift up Pastor Hyunsu and Chloe and Enoch. Let's pray for our Beijing family specifically today. There's actually, if you guys didn't know, China is making some changes in terms of how churches can be done in China. And so let's really pray for covering over them, that God's going to protect our family there, and especially Pastor Hyunsu as they seek to just do His work. And so let's lift them up. Let's lift up the Chong family, Matt and Nate's parents, Edie Clark, and you know all the churches that are there. And let's really pray that God will just move on their behalf. Let's lift up the board. Let's lift up P-Sam, Kiwan, Bri, Sandro, Max, Jackie, and Mon. Let's pray for their families. Let's pray for covering over their marriages. And let's also pray that God just grants them the wisdom to be able to lead our church as they pray over decisions and whatnot. Lift up our fellowship ministries. Let's lift up men's ministry, women's ministry, and young adults, and also SP Rings. Let's pray for God's Holy Spirit just to really bring some amazing discipleship through our leaders, but also for healing as well for those, especially going through LAM if it's needed, and just for the love to grow. And so let's lift up. Let's pray for SP 2.0. Let's pray for the benefactor. And let's pray that God just provides for us all that we need in terms of not just building, but even if we need renovations and whatnot. And let's pray for God to bring it in. I pray for it soon, as we're running out of space more and more every week. But let's just pray that God just continues to work in us and also in whoever it is that's going to be bringing the building for us. Lastly, let's lift up our house churches tonight. Let's pray that they're going to have such an amazing time meeting together in fellowship. Let's also pray for Holy Spirit to really cover their place of meeting, that they're going to have such an amazing encounter with God as they talk about the message this week, and pray over the church. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your words, God, and we thank you, Lord, for your promises, God, and all the things you've placed into our lives. But Lord, we just want you to know, God, that our eyes are on you. Father, not necessarily how far we can get and, you know, how far we can get in our jobs and whatnot. Lord, we just want to follow you, Lord, in whatever you've called us to. And so, Lord, do whatever you want to do with us, Lord. Our hearts and our minds and our bodies, God, are open for you. And so we thank you, God. Lord, we love you in this place. And so, God, will you bless my friends, Lord, as they go into their workplaces, God, as they go into with their families, God. We pray for covering over them. We pray, God, against any backlash, Lord. We just pray for blessing, God. Especially anoint their hands, God, that in whatever they do, Lord, that blessing and will just come, Father, to those that are around them, Father. So we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great week. We'll see you back tomorrow.